I know. This is what you're gonna miss, though.
Yeah, here we are.
I miss that.
Let's not talk about what Mark's
doing. Oh, I know. Okay. Before. Anyway, I know it's a long one, you see. Okay. Anyway,
hey. Stuff Taylor made for you, though.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome everybody to the show. We have Mark Cordes here. Man, he's having a little throat problems here, so I'm sure he's gonna be good. But if you start losing your voice, don't worry about it.
I'm going to leave.
Okay. And Carrie Dozer and Steve Blossom and the regular gang of characters, some of whom may be making guest appearances here later in the show. So welcome here. And anything you want to talk about? All the crazy things that went on the last week. But before we get to that.
Wait. We'll talk about that in a minute.
That'll be later. Carrie had a great idea. We're going to do some casting. And if we were going to do a movie... Okay, let's say we're going to do a movie of something, and I'll give you some ideas here. Who would you cast? Okay, so you have to help us out here. I'll throw one out, and there's none that I just say absolutely this is it. So we have to do Arizona politics because, you know, especially the state politics, they've done such a great job, tremendous job of handling the government and, you know, making sure we got our guns and bars. Rather than a budget and things
bars
like
and
that.
Cars.
Fantastic. So we have to cast the governor. Okay. So I'm gonna throw one out and then we can trump it if you guys come up with a better one. But just so we have somebody. And I forgot her name now, but the one I was thinking was Peg Bundy from
Katie Seagal.
Katie Seagal, yeah. I'm nominating Katie Seagal. And
Mark?
You know the go ahead.
Are we doing it like on personality or looks?
Looks, personality, the whole thing.
It's a visual show.
Who are you casting?
Kind of a Phyllis Diller-ish.
Oh, okay. No appointment for you.
Wow.
Yes.
Governor Brewer, you can audit
that.
She's
so darn hilarious.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Phyllis Diller.
Joan Rivers.
Really? You guys are cruel.
Joan Rivers, wow.
Wow.
Tight.
She's got way less work done on her than Joan.
You didn't go see Joan Rivers, did you, when she was here?
No.
About a week ago?
What does she do?
Yeah, huh?
What is her skill?
Cracks jokes.
Oh, God.
Oh,
cracks her face.
It's frightening.
She speaks and her face cracks right up.
You know, I saw a quote from Michelle Pfeiffer recently, and that she hasn't had any facial work done. I don't know about anything else. And she just being cool about it, she goes, I just think even when you age, your face should move.
Yes, absolutely.
That was an interesting way to put it.
I don't know why, but I'll throw out Jamie Lee Curtis.
As the governor?
Yeah.
Do you know who the governor is?
Yes.
Why would you possibly say that?
Grant, I'm looking for an appointment. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay. Then since
wow.
It's my show, I'm going to stick with Katie Seagal.
There you go.
Being friend of the governor, I'm going with her.
Okay.
I love Katie Seagal. I think she is great.
TV Land's been doing
singer and all that.
Reruns.
She's fantastic. And actually, that whole cast was great. Okay, the Attorney General.
Terry Goddard.
Terry Goddard, who's going to play him? I'm going to nominate Ed Begley Jr.
Wow. Not a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let's go the other direction on this one.
Steve?
Tall and glasses. Let me think here.
Man, we got some great personalities here. Can't think of one person.
I'm going to put glasses on Ted Danson.
Ted Danson.
That's
wow, he would
choice.
Like that.
William.
Shatner?
William Shatner?
Cromwell.
William Macy?
Ooh.
William Cromwell.
William H. Macy.
The older actor guy that's tall and lanky, and he always plays that... Very dry.
We don't know who he is. Next.
Leonard Nimoy?
Leonard Nimoy.
What? Again, do you know who Spock the Attorney General is?
I do. Well, either that or how about the guy that played Ebb Dawson on Green Acres? I'm trying to think of people who are like tall and, you know.
Okay, we're going with Ed Begley Jr. Okay, you guys haven't got any yet.
Game.
Okay, this will be easier.
I hope.
Senator John McCain, and I'm nominating Andy Rooney.
And he's your friend.
Wow.
Wow.
What do you think?
He's too young. Wow. Ooh. Kind of a cranky. All right. Strother Martin.
Strother Martin. Wow.
Who is that?
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
That's very
nice.
Good.
Nice.
All right. This
I'm
one
go
I have
with Tommy Smothers.
For.
Tommy Smothers. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Ed Asner.
God, Have you seen LASIK?
He needs some surgery.
Have you seen Ed lately?
Apparently not.
That white hair of his, I'd recognize him anywhere.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go with Andy Rooney.
I just thought of another one for the governor.
Betty White.
Betty White? Okay.
You got to give me a little time.
Give it time.
Back to the State House, Russell Pierce. And I'm going to nominate Randy Quaid.
Good choice.
Wow.
Cousin Eddie. I love it.
My daddy says I'm the best kisser in
fifth grade. I don't know why they call this stuff hamburger helper. It works just fine by itself.
You're going with Randy Quaid?
I love Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid wins. This is a hard one. I don't have a good one here. Joe Arpaio. What about Sheriff Joe? Who's going to play him?
Wow.
I said Tom Arnold.
He's too smart.
I think he could do it.
How about George Costanza?
You know, Jason Alexander?
Short, kind of, you know, balding, you know.
Angry, defensive.
Yeah? Like Jason Alexander better than Tom Arnold?
I'm going to come up with somebody better.
No, but you can age him.
Joe Arpaio, that's kind of a tough one. Anybody?
You know who would do a great job, but he doesn't really look like him, is who is the guy from all the like the Best in Show movies and the Mighty Wind, the guy who played Fred Willard.
Fred Willard.
I'm going with Fred Willard. He'd have to put on a fat suit, but he'd make a great Sheriff Joe.
I'm going to say Harvey Keitel.
Well, he's a tough guy.
Because remember Mr. Wolf?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right.
From, because he could act angry and...
Harvey Keitel is great. I'm gonna go with Fred Willard, though. Okay. Now, you know, by the way, our listeners can email Grant Woodshow, and we will come back
to you. If you have better answers.
If you have better answers, which you may well. How about Andy Thomas?
Ooh.
And I have, I forgot the guy's name. He hosted the Tonys, Doogie Howser.
Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris. So I'm going to go.
Oh, he would do a great job.
I have him later, so he can't be it. Can't be Michael Cera. Okay, Neil Patrick Harris is one.
How about a young-looking like from Happy Days, Ron Howard?
Ah, Ron Howard. What do you think? Ron Howard? I kind of like that.
He got the red hair.
He's wearing a baseball cap, which he usually is. Any others?
Conan O'Brien? He's got the red hair.
No, he doesn't look like Conan O'Brien.
I know.
Okay, J.D. Hayworth.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah. I'll say, boy, I used to be a congressman.
Dan Blocker.
Before or after surgery?
Well, Dan Blocker before.
Oh, okay.
Hoss Cartwright.
Well, what's his name from The Big Lebowski?
Ooh.
Oh, Jeff
John
Bridges.
Goodman.
Who? Oh, John Goodman. I was giving him some credit.
Sorry.
Jeff Bridges, okay.
Barney Rubble.
do they have to be on television or an actor, or can they just be on television?
Yeah, but... Okay, I don't know what that means. Just say it.
Mike Ditka.
For J.D. Hayworth?
Yeah, because they kind of have the hate slick back. No, they have the hair slick back. They're both boisterous.
No, you are 0 for everything so far. Maybe Ron Howard. We're going to have a vote on that. Okay, last one on the politicians is Trent Franks. And I have the kid from Deliverance.
I have the kid from Children of the Corn. I don't remember his name.
It's a battle.
He played Malachi. Oh,
which one is it?
Trent Franks, wow.
Okay, let's move on. How about from the Grant Wood Show, Carrie Dozier?
Oh, easy.
And I have Reese Witherspoon.
Ooh, not bad.
Hot.
Not bad.
I love it.
What do you think?
Did you say dirty?
Huh?
Oh.
What?
Oh, I thought you said dirty.
Come on.
God.
We're going with Reese?
That's pretty good.
Someone else?
Kind of a... Yeah, I was going to jokingly say Tara Reid, but I'm afraid
she's
picked
me. That's funny as hell.
Tara Reid. Let me write that down.
I'm joking. Okay.
Reese?
I like Reese Witherspoon.
Pieces of Reese.
That's safe.
Okay.
So you guys have to deal with
How about Mark Cordes? I have Howie Mandel.
George Clooney.
Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel.
Deal or no deal?
Yeah.
Nice.
You take that gig, would you?
Are you kidding me?
You know, I'll go with one of my previous answers. Jason Alexander.
Wow.
He's talented.
He played you as
he's
the same
talented.
Guy who
he's
played
funny.
The sheriff.
You, know, you both share hair tendencies.
Yeah.
He's got a goatee right now.
Then using the transitive theory, I could be Joe Arpaio.
Right. William Hurt. Seth just suggested William Hurt.
Yeah. I'll take any of those guys.
I like Howie. Okay. Steve Claussen.
Oh.
And that's where I have Michael Cera.
That would be great. he could totally pull it off. In the Juno shorts?
Yes,
absolutely.
I was thinking Rob Lowe, Ryan Seacrest.
Michael Cera's a big star.
No, I know.
He's huge.
Simon Cowell.
Okay, should we do me? Yeah. I have no one down here for myself.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Right. No, I don't. I have nobody.
The guy who looks like him.
No,
Joe
not Assusa? That clown.
No,
huh? Not
David
that
Leisure?
Clown. That's old.
That's right. Yeah, that's so
Joe
done.
20 years ago.
I'm going to go with Fred Willard.
Fred Willard, who?
Ouch.
He's so cute.
Ouch. Cut
and
that out
funny.
Of us.
He's hilarious.
Oh. Hey, cut that.
How
cut
about
that shit out.
Ed O'Neill. Al Bundy.
What the
Jesus.
Fuck?
I knew this wasn't going to be a good part of the segment.
Well, you got
Fred Willard and Ed O'Neill.
Yeah.
Let me go kill myself.
Well, let's not
how
do
does
you.
A fist fight sound on the radio?
would you prefer Brad Pitt? George
oh,
Clooney?
Let me think. Yes. Yeah, I would.
George Clooney wouldn't be far off.
Tommy Lee Jones.
I'd go with George.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Try a nice recovery from Ed
Fred
O'Neill.
Willard. I didn't give you Ed
Fred
O'Neill.
Willard, yeah.
Fred Willard's darling.
He's 90.
He's not 90.
He is
he's so
too.
Cute.
Isn't
Tommy
he?
Tommy Lee Jones. Seth just said Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy
yeah,
Lee.
That's better.
Yeah, he's awesome.
That's better.
He kicks some ass.
Okay, let's go to, I have one other category, and that is newscasters, local Ooh. Newscasters. No, you got to do the local newscasters here. And then Ron Hoon, I have Ryan Seacrest.
Okay, I could see that.
Hmm? Hoon, out. That's what
I'm
saying.
The Hooner. Okay.
The Hooner. What do you think? Anyone for Hoon? Okay, Mark Curtis.
Oh.
I have one, but I don't know how great it is. I have Dabney Coleman.
I can see that.
That's very good.
Kind of looks like him, a little bit.
Yes.
You know, he's a little older, but.
Right out of 9 to 5. Yeah, yes, right. 9 to 5 days. That would be perfect.
Lin Su Cooney.
Lin Su
Cooney. I had. That's who I have.
That's
Lucy Liu.
Lucy Liu.
Lin Su Cooney, I spoke at the Silent Silent Witness.
Sorry,
what are you just going like for the Asian deal? Come on, that's weak.
Well, it's like, yeah.
I spoke at the Silent Witness dinner recently, and it was hosted on a Saturday night by Mark Curtis and Lin Su Cooney, which is great that they do that, by the way, because you know they work hard. Now they've got them like 6 nights a week, I think, a lot of times. They have to do Sunday nights sometimes. And then to take a Saturday night and do that is pretty cool. And Lin Su Cooney is absolutely gorgeous.
She's
Seth
stunning.
Just suggested Connie Chung, too, would be a possibility.
Oh, dear God.
Thanks with all
That's
every
horrible.
Asian you can think of. Yeah.
It's profiling.
Yeah, that is profiling. It's so weak. Okay. John Hook.
Ooh.
I have Bradley Cooper. Is that his name? Guy from Hangover?
Yeah.
That's giving John Hook a lot of credit.
Yeah. John Hook, good-looking guy.
Yeah,
I like
that's
Pitt
giving John Hook,
Hook
a lot of credit. Yeah. Bradley Cooper's hot.
And then we got two more for you, Mark.
Right.
Okay. What, Bradley Cooper?
Totally hot.
I'll go Brad Pitt for Hook.
Brad Pitt?
He's a good friend of mine.
Brad Pitt is?
Hook, not Pitt.
Okay, well, and I'm not? You gave me fucking Ed O'Neill? Jesus Christ. It's so
you're
weak.
With your hand on your
really? Okay, I got two more. Patty Kirkpatrick. I don't know. I put Janice Dickerson.
Sorry.
But...
That's
supermodel.
Horrible.
Supermodel.
Uh-huh.
That's good. Anyone else for Patty?
Ooh, Patty Kirkpatrick. Let me think. I'm trying to think of the glasses and the.
Yeah, is there someone like that? How about Sandra Bullock?
A young Mary Tyler Moore.
Really young? She's like 90.
No, when she did that short hair, there was kind
of. Yeah, that might work.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. Kent Dana.
Oh.
I don't know the guy's name, but Paul Walton is who I had. What was that guy's name, that actor?
Paul Walton.
Yeah, the Waltons.
Oh, as in he was a Walton.
The dad.
Dad Walton.
Yeah. The soon-to-be-retired Kent Dana.
Yeah. Anyone for Kent?
Wow.
Mark,
no
come on.
Idea.
You're not contributing at all.
I know.
Yeah, forget it.
I'm going to go with Joe Dana.
You're already
trying to make a run for it.
Is your voice all messed up? Oh, God.
I think I'm going to go
it's terrible. Okay, forget it. We got nobody else for that
we'll
one.
We'll talk about you after you're gone.
I'll be listening.
Mark's going to cut out.
Oh, wait a minute.
Where are you playing at? Casino Arizona?
Yes.
Wow.
Hey.
I got to do some skits.
You might know this guy at the Silent Witness dinner after I spoke. This is how I spend my Saturday night. The guy from Showstoppers who played Neil Diamond. was the entertainment?
Tom Sage.
Is that his name?
The Neil Diamond guy. Well, how was it?
I enjoyed it because I like Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
And I saw Neil Diamond a couple years ago, and this guy was better than Neil Diamond.
Yeah, I know.
Is now.
He's really pretty good.
I thought he was a very nice
and
guy.
The whole
it's
show
it's very kind of creepy, though.
Thing.
It's a very strange thing, that whole impersonator, because he walked around and he still acted like he was Neil Diamond.
Yeah, I know.
And it was weird, scary. But.
That's weird.
We have a late entry for Kent Dana.
Kent Dana.
Don Adams.
Get smart. Yeah, that's good.
This thank you.
Hey, 99.
That's not bad. Sorry
yeah,
about
good.
That, Chief.
Oh, sorry.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, so.
They're starting to.
Yeah, it's all right. Don't worry about it.
Wait till the 8th.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay,
bye, Mark.
My man.
Sorry, guys.
Mark's
right,
busy.
Whatever.
He's got to go
care.
To Casino, Arizona.
Mark's not really leaving. We're not really going to take a break. We're not really going
to
take a break.
Are we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not taking a break. Break.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, you're doing it. All right. Before we go to the Woody, we just took a little break, and Steve came up with...
the biggest fuck you ever. To
love
me.
You too, Carrie.
No. Another
God.
Casting for Carrie Dozier.
I came up with one for John McCain.
John McCain.
Yeah.
What was it?
Mr. Pitt from Seinfeld.
Oh, that wasn't bad. I like that. Okay. Okay, that's good.
Okay, let's
but
do
what
the
about
Woody.
Carrie? See what everybody thinks about this one.
Horrible.
Rob Harris is joining us. Hey, Rob.
Absolutely. Not what she looks like today, but what she looked like during the TV show.
Yes.
Carol Brady from The Brady Bunch.
Oh,
Florence
Henderson.
Henderson.
See, I already told you. I thought, have you ever seen that show on TV?
Yes, Chelsea Lately.
Oh.
I'll take Chelsea okay. Lively for sure.
Is it the picture of her or how she actually looks? Yeah, because when you see her picture, she looks super hot. And then she comes on live and you went,
ooh,
maybe a lot
hot.
Of vodka
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like me. Yeah. Sometimes you think, wow, and then, ooh.
Yeah. Now, did you really get hit in the eye with a baseball?
I did.
That is crazy.
Actually, it was a softball. If it had been a baseball, I probably would have lost my eye.
Wow.
So thank God
you
it
got
a
little shiner going there. And
well, I had it fixed,
yeah.
But I got hit 2 years ago.
That
but I let it
crazy.
Heal, and then Sean Parsons stitched me up, took all the junk out and stitched me up. He is.
Give us the explanation. I fell down the stairs.
I fell at my home. No one was there. I'm so clumsy.
Yeah, that's what they usually
say. I got handed more domestic violence cards, you know, for like 3 weeks.
She came up with the, I got hit by a softball.
Seriously, you don't have to live like this. I'm like, clearly you do not know my husband.
People really did that?
Oh, my God.
But Rich wouldn't get anybody.
The lady at the Safeway, she's like, honey, she just slips it with my receipt.
That's hilarious.
It's in the neighborhood. Nobody will know. I'm like, no, I didn't know.
I think you're more likely to hit Rich than Rich is likely to hit
Clearly. Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Rob. Now, former. Now, I'm not picking on the Suns. Okay.
Oh.
Yet. That's coming up. That's why you're here. Former. How long did you work for the Suns?
14 years.
Wow.
Started 1992 when the arena first opened up.
We'll see if Rob mans up or kisses up.
Yeah,
but we'll do that in a moment.
Days.
But to start this out, we have to do today's Woody, this week's Woody. And are you ready? Are you holding it?
I'm holding him.
Okay. This week's
Lightly.
Woody. You ready?
Yep.
This week's Woody goes to Diamondbacks general manager Josh Burns. It's the middle of summer and hotter than hell out here in good old Arizona, and we need something to distract us other than the lizards passed out on the asphalt. Here's something fun. How about baseball? America's pastime, the grand old game. How about a trip to the ball yard to see our very own Arizona Diamondbacks, the best AAA team in the majors today? And who can we thank for taking us from first to worst? Well, besides the owners, let's give a tip of the old cap to GM Josh Burns. Now, as I pointed out thousands of times in the past few months, the D-backs did not even field a team that could win this year. No power, no catcher, no bullpen, no closer. But we do have the star of the Eric Burns show, or we did until he took one on the hand and mercifully took the rest of the summer off. The pity of it is that the D-backs are not that far away, except in the standings. I would rather have Mr. Burns from The Simpsons playing left or making the trades than our twin killers, Eric and Josh. Just a little brief recap. And there's plenty more. I just had to stop. Burns traded Carlos Quinton, became a superstar, traded Jose Valverde, who had led the league in saves, for the weakling Chris Burke and the non-closer Chad Qualls. He traded Micah Owings for Adam Dunn and then let Dunn go because who needs 40 homers, 100 RBIs 5 years in a row? Not us. We have Chris Young, who pops up more than the dude in the Cialis commercials. He let Orlando Hudson go so he could jumpstart the Dodgers and signed Big John Roush to a new contract. I think the song was called Big Bad John. Last time I checked, he should be buried at the bottom of Wordless Pit. Only people over the age of 70 are going to understand that song reference, Jimmy Dean. And, of course, my favorite, he signed again Tony Clark, who used to be okay. Great. Let's get Willie Mays to play center. He used to be pretty good. And he still wouldn't drop a gimme at first base for game, I don't think, even though he's 90. We recently learned about another one that got away, Ian Kinsler, leadoff hitter for the Texas Rangers. He killed us when he was here a few weeks ago. Seems we signed him twice and let him go twice. We wouldn't want him. Local boy, all-star last year. Nah, get rid of him. And then there is Josh's jump the shark hiring of A.J. Hinch, boy blunder, who coached the first game of his life as a major league manager. Never even coached Little League. And it shows. Clueless. But the team has really responded to him. Not. And the outstanding news, he signed through 2012. Plenty of time to learn here at the AAA level. Thanks for ruining our summer. Josh Burns gets the Woody. Now, you don't mind me picking on Josh Burns, do you?
No, I'm afraid he's made a few too many mistakes.
Speaking of mistakes, let's go to the Suns.
Wow.
Well,
segue.
Just to start out with, I mean, this is what everybody's talking about. It's so patently obvious, but I guess we'll just start with it. How could this have happened that in the Valley here, we have three teams go right in the tank? The Suns, who have almost always been great, in disarray, don't even know what the future is for them. The Diamondbacks, dead and gone. The Coyotes in bankruptcy, and we have one model franchise, and it's the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, honestly, it's mind-boggling.
It's bizarro Jerry.
Yeah, if you would have said that 2 years ago, you would say that is not possible, but this is what's happened. And so the question is, who's to blame for this? Could you have some kissing up noises?
No, you know what? Sports is cyclical. Every sports team in every sport, the Lakers missed the playoffs a few years ago. The Cowboys, I think they were winless a few seasons back. I mean, some of the model franchises who have won it all have had their peaks and valleys.
Right.
So that just happens. I mean, it's an art, not a science. You can't tell by drafting somebody or trading for somebody what's necessarily in their heart.
Like you couldn't tell trading Joe Johnson that was a great move.
There's some bad decisions. It's a mix of both, and then you know when you have bad decisions, just bad luck, it's the perfect storm, and that's where we're at right now.
By the way, the Diamondbacks now are starting to wave the flag of we've had so many injuries, and that is complete bullshit. You know, first Eric Burns, that was a blessing. That he got injured. I mean, honestly, that guy was horrible. Oh. Brandon Webb, okay, that was a terrible break. Well, I understand that, but so what? Dan Heron, one of the best pitchers in baseball, and what has he got? 7-8 wins, you know. I mean,
poor guy.
Doesn't mean Brandon Webb is going to get wins, cause not with that team. So, well, how about people like me who blame the owners? Richie Rich and Kendrick over there. Now, I just picked on Burns, and I think for good reason, but I would hate to have to run a team with a cheap owner. Because, like, the Diamondbacks, I think, are very
close. But that's Josh's theory anyway. I mean, Josh's theory is that you can do it that way. I mean, he's all about the numbers. And he's about figuring out the lowest common, you know, price.
It's obviously not working. Not even close.
It's not working here this year.
No, it's not going to work. I mean, remember the little conversation we had with his boy. I'm telling you, that team, in my view, not bad luck. They could not have won. I was counting Brandon Webb for, you know, 15 wins.
He will not pitch this year.
No. But when we had the guy on at the what's his name, Derek Hall, at the first of the season before the season started, I said you don't have a team that could compete out there. I was counting Brandon Webb for 15 wins.
Right.
With so much less without him. But the Suns, I mean, what the hell? What are they doing? I mean, where is the future for the Suns? What do you do here? I mean, that's what I don't understand. Trading Shaq, I understand. Getting Shaq, I don't understand. But trading him, you clear $20 million. You know, now you got $10 million deal there. I understand that. And he didn't really fit in. But what have we got? You build around 37-year-old Steve Nash? I would. If I was him, would you? I'd tell him to take a hike. No, go to Toronto, go to New York.
He'll be able to make as much money someplace else as he could here in a situation where he has a chance to win it all, or at least be in a situation that isn't rebuilding from the ground floor. It really is what it appears.
It looks like it, isn't it? Yeah. Well, in basketball in particular. Well, the Suns are a good example.
All right, I can't. This is in 16 months, they took us from the best team in the league to nothing. Yep. 16 months. That's not cyclical.
Everybody's favorite team.
Wow.
If you remember last spring, if you talk to anybody in the country who followed hoop, I don't care if they're Celtics fans, if they're Laker fans, they would go, hey, I love to watch the Suns. I
mean, you couldn't get in there either. It was
fantastic.
Jam-packed.
And we were in first place. And then we start making these idiotic trades, and I think we might come in last.
Here's my thing, too, is...
Is that Sokka, ladies and gentlemen?
Let's get the old Robert Sarver back, who had accountability to his people. I mean, right now, their basketball office has struggled for a few years, and it's okay.
Yeah.
How about the, you know, kind of let's get success or let's get out?
The Donald Trump, you're fired, and all that, yeah.
Well, you're absolutely right. That was the MO back in the day. There were a couple of casualties as a result of that. Brian Colangelo is having a nice career in Toronto as a result.
Yes, he is.
Right.
Built that franchise, led the team, led the league in attendance, won championships, and yet fell, I believe, one game short of a goal that Robert had set for him to essentially preserve his job. One game made a difference in a
Jeez. Major
career. So I agree with Seth. If accountability, if that's going to be the MO there, then it should continue on, and guys need to be accountable for the wins and losses.
What about hockey? Do you guys subscribe to the theory that hockey can't work here in the Valley, or that it can't work at Glendale?
I am shocked that Jerry Reinsdorf is making a bid at this team, because this is a guy who gets sports in big markets. He's very savvy.
Right.
I had heard him say in private conversations that he would not invest money. He would only do it if it was sort of a sweat equity type deal. You know, I'll come in and run it.
Isn't this a no money deal, though?
I heard $148 million.
But no money.
No cash?
No cash.
Well, then, he may do it. I mean, he may be the guy then.
Yeah. I think that's what he's doing. What he's doing is he's assuming that debt.
The problem with the Coyotes, number one, is they have not won for years.
That's
when
the
was
problem.
The last time we had a whiteout here in town?
That's
remember,
the problem.
When the whiteouts
but
were
when they
playoffs,
win, they're sold out.
It's fun. And you see there are certain towns that are good hockey towns, like Detroit, where I'm from. The Red Wings have been sold out for as long as I can remember. I think the Coyotes could do well. I think one of their problems is the location in Glendale.
If
they had moved to, you know, the Scottsdale location at Los
Arcos.
That
wasn't their choice, though.
No, it wasn't their
choice.
But there's a big difference between when the Cardinals play in Glendale, because they do it
Sunday.
Eight times a year
and on
a Sunday afternoon.
Right, no traffic.
No traffic. You know, you can take the weekend off. If I leave here from downtown Phoenix to go to a Coyotes game that starts at 7 o'clock at 5:30, I'm fighting traffic to get out there.
Yeah,
I got to come back here, and I got to do it
Well, not just you. Worse, they had a lot of their fan base was from the East Valley.
Right.
And that's just really a haul.
And I agree
it's
with
brutal.
You know,
but having said that, they did fine when they were winning. I mean, they, you know, when they did make the playoffs once. They played San Jose. I used to represent the Coyotes, and they let me go over there, and we went to the San Jose playoff game. It was great. And
playoff hockey is great.
It's fantastic. And I think in Arizona, I will say this, and this even goes back to, I mean, we all love Jerry, but it goes even back in those days. I don't think the owners here have ever done a great job at instilling what needs to be done in the community so that the people will be more likely to follow win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. I understand that. But owners here have pretty much always, the Bidwells, I don't know what they were doing before, but so take them out of the equation. But everybody else has pretty much been willing to ride and fall on putting a winning product on the field. If you put a winning product out there, Phoenix, no problem whatsoever. You'll sell out like crazy. Diamondbacks will do great. But if you put a losing product out there and you haven't built up your local support, fans will not come. And the Diamondbacks are down like, 5,000-6,000 people a game now. Jerry has a connection to the community, but here's where people miss out, in my view, and that's with the players. And let's just go to the Diamondbacks because they got a bigger roster here. People know very little about any of the players.
Well, baseball changes, I think, more often than a lot of sports, and
yes and no, but you really, they're not out there. They drive to the park, and they play their game, and they might do an interview, and then they go home. And they're just, I don't think they're really part of the community. And same with basketball.
I can certainly speak from my experience with the Suns. We had guys out in the community literally every day. Any day that guys were not working.
Well, that's the way it should be.
They didn't have a game day, if it was a practice day or not day. They were out doing appearances with multiple guys, multiple locations.
Right.
No, they do.
For Suns players, the outreach was extraordinary. It really was. And not to take sides with you, but that was something that really was Jerry's MO.
Well, then you think they just won't. Then, if that's the case, then I guess you have to think that you have to win then. Well, because the Suns, when they lost a few years ago, they weren't selling out. When they had the Marbury years and all that, you had empty seats there. You got to win.
Over the course of a couple of bad years, you're right, that goodwill that had built up, we were able to ride on that for a while, but it erodes after a while. And as they say, winning is a great deodorant, and that's ultimately what it's all about.
And this is a very fickle fan base. Everybody's
that's
from
what
somewhere
I'm saying.
Else.
It
the
is.
Loyalties are somewhere
very
else.
Tough.
They come, they go, wow, hey, this is cool, this is a scene. And, the stuff that Rob and these guys did at the arena made it cool.
But
and it was a very hip place to be.
Good thing about the Suns is they've been here for a long time, and they started here. They didn't come from someplace else. That's why I think the Cardinals, for example, had a break. They obviously had a breakthrough year, but even more so because now you've got a ton of Cardinal fans. I think the days of the Dallas Cowboy fans filling up the stadium and all that are over. I think the Cardinals have done it. The Diamondbacks, I don't know when that's going to be over, but the Angels, I mean, I don't know how great they got a decent fan base. Angels had tons of people out there. It's not just the Cubs and the Dodgers.
Well, that's
almost
Artie.
Every
Artie's a brilliant manager, a brilliant owner. Totally gets the community and outreach too.
And with the Cardinals, and I've had some involvement with them over the years. Do not underestimate the importance of that stadium. They were never going to draw more at Sun Devil Stadium. And if you look at the history of the NFL franchises when they move from a bad facility to a new facility, most franchises either reached the championship game or a Super Bowl. Tampa Bay was a terrible franchise forever. Now they've been a pretty good franchise for years and years. And Rob, you were talking about sports are cyclical, and I agree with you. But a lot of it goes with the ownership, and I'll use two NFL examples here. In Pittsburgh, the Rooney family has been in control of the Steelers for as long as anybody can remember. They've got six Super Bowl championships. Virtually every year, you expect the Pittsburgh Steelers to make the playoffs at the very least. Meanwhile, where I'm from, the Detroit Lions have had the same owner, the Ford family, William Clay Ford, forever and ever. And I'm not sure I'd ever hope for them to even make the playoffs.
How about Arizona? I mean, we'd won one playoff game in 53 years.
Right. Arizona had the stadium issue, and that was
a bigger issue. No. We're talking about they put a – look.
No.
I'm a big booster of the Cardinals.
Right.
Okay, and the Bidwell family. They put a shit product on the field for decades. I mean, that's not sugarcoated.
No.
It was a horrible product.
The stadium played a factor. Now I expect them to be a contender year in and year out. They're going to have a couple years.
They wouldn't spend the money. That's the problem. This goes back to trying to run a team if the owner won't spend the money. And this is what worries me about the Diamondbacks now.
Which is odd in the NFL because the NFL is such a money-making product.
Everybody makes money.
In baseball, you don't make money. It's all based upon your local ad revenue, your local media revenues, which is tough.
Which goes back to the Suns, and I think the beef I have with the Suns is I don't see any evidence they know what they're doing. So things can be cyclical, but the Diamondbacks, I would say, they made a lot of blunders, Burns has. I don't think the owners know shit about baseball, but they hired this guy, and they handed it over to him, and he's really screwed up. And now they seem to be broke. So this is a bad scene over there for that reason. But I think the guy knows baseball. He's just had maybe just had bad luck or whatever, you know. I mean, we watched Carlos Quinton for three seasons. However long he was
brilliant.
Here, guy couldn't hit. I mean, it was very rough. But, you know, this is what they do. They should have been able to see that he would turn into a superstar. Basketball, the moves they've made, like Seth said, to go from first to worst in that small period of time, I don't know that they know what they're doing. And the Shaq move, I think, is indefensible. But they're not. They're not. I mean, they suck. I mean, and that was last year. Now where do we go? I don't know. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen here, obviously, but I don't know. It looks pretty grim. Okay. Now, Steve, we have one more topic here for you before I breeze off to Italy here.
You're going to the White House? We never talked about
that. Oh, I didn't mention that. Yeah. Okay.
The president.
Well, I am going into.
Did you guys go out for a smoke?
We're going into Obama land here. I'm so tired.
Sorry.
No, I mean, I give the president credit and the Congress. They got it done. And you know, and we're talking about the tobacco bill, and what they passed was pretty much what we got the companies to agree to in 1996. And it took a long time, obviously, and I'm not so sure exactly why. I have a pretty good idea why it took so long, but they got it done, it's the bottom line. And so I thought it was great, and it was very nice of them to invite me back. The president was great. You know, he's a real, he's just, you know, smartest guy there, very natural, handles himself beautifully.
And he said you were a great AG, too. He knew you.
Yeah, he might have been talking to Mike Moore from Mississippi, I think, honestly.
Not Moore.
He was,
Does Mike still look like he's 12?
He was very nice. We talked to Biden afterwards. We didn't talk to the president. He just came up and shook hands and stuff. It was great. It was really – I'd never been to a Rose Garden ceremony.
Is he as impressive in person as he seems on
television? He was. He was great. He was really super. So, yeah, I thought that was nice. And nice ceremony in the Rose Garden. You know, brought back some memories because we did a lot of, Mike and I went to the White House quite a bit when we were negotiating the tobacco settlement, which ended up being the largest civil settlement in the history of
$246 billion.
The world. Billion, yeah. So we went to the White House a lot, but I had not been to the Rose Garden. Very cool.
That's got to be a cool setting because I was reading your tweets and stuff when it was coming through, and it's like, you know, Biden's coming out and Obama's here, and I'm
It
next
was very
to
cool.
Valerie Jarrett, weren't you sitting
next
to her or something
there.
Like that?
Well, she was standing there, yeah. I mean, it was all good. So the last topic here is health care, and the president's, you know, kind of putting it all on the line here that he's trying to get all of this stuff through. I think their theory is why they're doing so much is that he'll never be more popular than he is now. And you in politics, you have a lot of goodwill, and it's kind of like George Bush won after the first Gulf War. He had a tremendous reservoir of goodwill, and he just sat on it. And I think what you find is if you sit on it, it goes away. It isn't like a bank account there where it grows or it even stays the same. So he's got the goodwill. He's got the votes in Congress, you know, potentially. So he's going to try to push this very aggressive agenda while he can, because it'll be easier now than a few years from now. Healthcare, he seems to have stumbled, though.
Healthcare is a very difficult issue.
He's meeting resistance. Anyway.
He is meeting resistance because everybody seems to have their own idea. This healthcare debate has been going on. The first guy to actually suggest universal healthcare coverage, Harry Truman. So this is not exactly a new issue.
Right.
But you know, you're right. The president, he's still in the, you know, low 60s in terms of approval rating. He has an aggressive agenda. And the one thing that he is realizing is he was elected to make change. When people voted for him last year, people were sick of the status quo. They wanted something different.
And that's what he wants.
And that's what he wants. He's still got a, it's still going to be a hard push in the Senate because his problem is he's now got the 60 Democratic votes with Al Franken in the Senate. But is Ted Kennedy going to be there? I think Ted Kennedy would come out in a wheelchair to vote on a health care bill.
Well, that's
Robert Byrd, they would probably wheel him in a wheelchair too. So he's got the 60 votes, but it's still going to be a very difficult because the health care lobby is very, very powerful.
Well, and it's not just the lobby. It's when we talked about this a month ago, what I brought up that the problem I had with it was this public option. And the question is whether the public option, which I understand how the president is pitching it, and it makes sense the way he's pitching it. But the question is that, and it's, I use the word slippery slope, and I've noticed over the last 30 days that's what everybody's saying. Is this a slippery slope? In other words, if there's a public option out there, the president's saying, if you like your doctor, if you like your health care plan, you can stick with it. Well, that's fine. What if your employer opts out? And your employer says, basically encourages you or makes you go to the public option. And after a while, if there's incentives in place, which there probably will be in the public option to make it attractive, will competition take place or will the government win because the government's the big dog here and we'll end up with a single-payer system? That's the problem. I mean, this is why people, I think, are not voting for it.
Right, and it's a difficult...
Because I don't want a single-payer system.
Right, and I understand that. The thing is, though, no matter how you feel about health care reform, most people agree the current system is not working.
But most people want
something's got to be done.
It's funny though, but most people also want to keep their current doctor, their current plan. The majority of Americans still do.
Right.
It doesn't work, but they like this. They don't want to go to socialized medicine, which is, in my view, what a single payer system is.
But for the 50 and up to 80 million people that don't have health care right now, they just want any plan.
Yeah, they do. But this is the problem.
With the people being laid off and
so can we come up with a government option that doesn't morph into a single-payer system? That's the question.
I think we
can, yeah. The president says we can.
And I would agree with him.
But that's,
and if anybody can get it done, I think he can.
Yeah. Well, he may want that. The question also, though, is let's say we get it, and once you get it, there's no going back. It's like every other government program. Then we're down this path. And if we have tremendous deficits, which we have here, okay, well, we can start paying them down. You raise taxes. You can lower taxes. You know, there's lots of getting rid of a government health care program, it's not going to happen. So this is a hesitation.
Got to hope it works.
So I don't know if he's going to get it or not. I don't know. I would probably say he
will. It's going to be tight.
It's going to be tight, yeah.
Do you think that he or really anybody in a decision-making capacity at the federal level really understands the impact that this health care program will have on the nation from an economic standpoint? Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I think that's a part of the crapshoot.
Right.
It's part of the crapshoot.
They decide if they don't know the end result, they're going to vote no.
Yes.
Except in this case, where he has the votes pretty well lined up.
Maybe. That's. I don't think they know. I think you're taking a giant new program and throwing it out there, and yeah, it could be great. And it could be a disaster. And I'm with you. I wouldn't do it. So I don't know. I mean, yeah. I think that's a tough call. I guess.
But,
I'm
all for him on his aggressive agenda. If anything, I'd like him to get more aggressive.
It's hard to be more aggressive.
Nah, he could probably do it.
God, I agree. It would be hard. Guys but, got but, more oars in the water.
Oh, my God.
I applaud him. He wasn't just 100 days. Okay, I'm done. I can coast.
Yeah.
For you.
No,
you
he's
know,
been great.
He There's no coast in him.
There isn't.
No. Nope. And he's that's why he was elected for, and he's doing it. So.
And that's why
he's
he's still a ratings bonanza,
But
yeah, it is. You're right. He's got to do it.
But, wow. You know, as long as he's doing, 62-63% in the polls, which he is seeming to do consistent, he's got it.
Okay, now, people, because I am going to take a little jaunt for a while to Italy, and so I promised to blog. I don't know about the Twitter part, but maybe, we'll see. Yeah, I guess so, if there's some interesting things. I'm not going to do, hey, I had a pizza.
Please don't.
I mean, who gives a shit, you know? But so many people.
I do.
I know you just do.
Just to call me.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, I had a pizza.
Thank you.
Use some Facebook etiquette, folks.
Thank you, Florence.
Stop these spam type things.
Florence
Henderson for dinner tonight.
Florence Henderson and
Jesus Christ, Carol Brady.
That's so weak.
It's really the worst
thing I've ever been called.
Edit
that out.
Wow.
Seriously, take that out.
I'm sorry, Carrie.
Take that out.
I publicly apologize.
Who did we say?
Rosie O'Donnell might have been worse.
We said Ryan Seacrest for him, didn't we? No. Michael Cera.
I could have gone Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Oh, hold it. Last one. What about Rob Harris here?
Okay.
What about Rob?
Oh, Rob Harris.
Oh, I got it. The pianist guy.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Adrian Brody.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Adrian Brody.
I've heard that.
He laid one on Halle Berry, too. Yeah. I can see you.
Would
doing
you do that?
Halle?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Hell yeah. Wow.
Who wouldn't? Steve Nash?
No.
A little Nash. Let's see. You looking?
A little Jerry Seinfeld.
Adrian,
see, he's going downhill, isn't he? He's got the zingers.
Yeah, people have said that before.
Would you take Jerry's money?
Well, no, we wouldn't. We want to earn our own.
Being called Jerry Seinfeld is not an insult.
No, very cute.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Is that a show?
That's a show.
That's a show. Thanks, everybody.